And welcome to the Provider Podcast by NHS Providers. My name's Adam Brimelow, and in this episode, we're talking about our forthcoming conference, now virtual rather than face-to-face, but still a great coming together of NHS leaders to reflect on the pressures, challenges, risks, and opportunities facing the health service. So this week, once again, I'm joined by Saffron Cordery, Deputy Chief Executive of NHS Providers. We'll get onto the new plans for the annual conference in a moment, but first, a quick look at the key headlines from the Autumn Budget and Spending Review. So NHS revenue funding for the next 3 years had already been spelt out, as we know, falling short of what we felt was needed, but nevertheless, a significant increase at a time of tight public spending. The spending review, though, was an opportunity to lay out plans for other areas of the health budget, including capital spending, typically on buildings, equipment, and IT, which has been a real priority for NHS providers through our Rebuild Our NHS campaign. Saffron, capital spending has long been neglected, but there was some progress in the spending review.
Yeah, we did see some progress. So we've seen £5.9 billion, in fact. So that feels like quite a lot of progress in many ways. But I think what we have to do is line that up against the scale of the task in hand. So £5.9 billion, really welcome. It includes dedicated investment in digital, in terms of transformation, digital infrastructure, which is absolutely critical. And I think everyone is pinning their hopes on the transformation of the NHS through digital means. So that certainly feels like a step forward. But I think what we have to remember is that there is this massive backlog in the NHS in terms of the day-to-day maintenance of buildings, estates, and capital assets. So that's things like, you know, the leaky roofs and the broken boilers. And we talk about these day in, day out, but they are absolutely critical. And I think that we have to remember, alongside what some would term as the exciting bits, the day-to-day stuff matters more than ever, because the buildings are the assets we really, really sweat. And if we don't keep them safe and if we don't keep them functional, it's going to be a challenge for us. It's already a challenge now, and it will continue to undermine our effectiveness and efficiency.
Yeah, and another urgent priority where people were looking out for progress was on workforce, in particular education and training. Of course, a massive concern for trust leaders, but still no clarity from the spending review on that.
No, there really isn't any clarity on this. And I think that is one of the areas where, you know, trusts have been waiting and waiting and waiting for a multi-year funded, costed workforce plan. And it still hasn't come. And whilst there are promises of something, I think that what everyone needs to see, whether it's in health and social care, across the whole of local systems, we need to see that planning and that investment in place so that we know that we can train and bring on stream the workforces of the future as well as the workforces of today. So you can't deliver services without staff, and we need to secure that supply.
Yeah, and you mentioned social care there, another real worry, of course, in terms of pressures on the NHS. So no additional ring-fenced funding for social care in the spending review?
No, not in this tranche of the spending review. I mean, obviously we had the health and social care levy in terms of the revenue settlement, the income settlement, but that funding doesn't come on stream for social care until later. My view on this is that that's actually a real challenge, because we know that the NHS and social care go hand in hand. So the effectiveness of one is dependent on the effectiveness of the other. So in terms of investment to cut those waiting lists and to get people out of hospital and to enable people to live independent, healthy lives, we need to invest in both together.
So Saffron, not long to go now until NHS Providers annual conference on November the 16th and 17th. This will be a really important moment for trust leaders and senior stakeholders, particularly as the service is coming under such severe pressure with COVID still very much part of the picture. But we've decided, haven't we, to switch from a face-to-face event to running this virtually. Why has that happened?
That's happened for a couple of reasons, really. Firstly, as you mentioned, COVID is still with us and levels are high in different parts of the country. And we know that the risk of infection is something that we have to take really, really seriously, both in terms of what we are doing, but also supporting trusts in their organisations. So that's the first reason. And the second reason is the operational pressures that trusts are facing. And we have to recognise that staff taking time, leaders taking time out of the office to come to our event, you know, does divert their attention. So we're clear that this is the right decision, but it feels a really regrettable decision in many ways.
Yeah, it should be said, though, that the main plenary sessions will go ahead as planned, albeit as webinars, when we've got a fantastic lineup of speakers. And it's going to be a big moment, isn't it, for the new NHS England Chief Executive, Amanda Pritchard. What do you think trust leaders will want to hear from her?
I think trust leaders are really wanting to see Amanda set out her future strategic direction. I mean, she's not long in post, but it's her first opportunity to say where she's going to be taking NHS England. I'm really excited to hear what she's got to say, particularly as the first woman chief executive of the NHS. Really, really pivotal moment. But I want to hear from her how she sees systems bedding down, how she sees the roles of providers. You know, she herself, a really experienced provider chief executive. Where are they headed? What are the transformation points going to be? And where will the NHS be in 5 years' time?
Yeah, and of course, we've got quite a new Secretary of State, Sajid Javid. He's not been around for long either in this role. Chance for him to engage after his recent announcement of a leadership review, his comments on waste and wokery and the debate over mandatory vaccination. Do you get a sense, Saffron, of a new Secretary of State looking to assert his authority in a slightly different way?
I think we're seeing a lot of change, aren't we? We're seeing a lot of change in terms of that balance between where the Department of Health and Social Care is, where NHS England is. And I think with the legislation going through Parliament, which has a whole set of new powers of direction for the Secretary of State, I think we are seeing an assertion here that we haven't seen previously. I think that where we're at in terms of the leadership review, those comments around wokery and waste, I think it's really important that this is a moment for Sajid Javid to really connect with trust leaders, to really understand their perspectives, where they're coming from, to thank them for everything that they have done over the last 18 months or more of this pandemic, and indeed some really challenging and stressful times before the pandemic. So I think there's a real get to know you opportunity for the Secretary of State there. And I'm sure that he will seize that opportunity with both hands.
Yeah. One of the sessions that you're involved with is on workforce, which of course we were talking about a moment ago. The reason to invest is what that session is called. We've talked about the disappointment on this in the spending review. What needs to happen now, Saffron?
I think what we've got to see now is that genuine focus on the workforce, putting them front and centre stage, because we say it all the time, but it's absolutely true that we cannot deliver services without the workforce in place. So we do need to see a long-term workforce plan for the NHS, ideally involving social care as well, so that we can make sure that we've got the flexibility that we need in place, that we've got the diversity of staff, and that we are anticipating future demand and the future context in terms of who we train and how we train them. So it's absolutely critical that we make this investment. And it's not just about the future, it's also about investing in our existing staff, because we've got a wealth of experience and talent out there And we need to keep those staff in their role. We've got to avoid burnout. We've got to make sure people are adequately rewarded and feel satisfied in the roles that they are doing. Because frankly, healthcare delivery on the front line is a really challenging job. And we need to make sure that it's also a satisfying job.
Yeah, it feels right just to mention at that point that we'll be publishing our next Providers Deliver report on day two of the conference, that's on the 17th, focusing on some of the great innovations by trusts to deal with a whole range of workforce challenges, including race equality, the speaking up culture, staff empowerment, better recruitment and retention, staff well-being, and the development of new roles as well. So absolutely, no question, workforce is a really key concern, as we constantly hear from trust leaders. But there is great work going on that's making things better for staff and patients as well. And we're keen to celebrate that. We also have some great sessions at the conference looking at other really key issues like health inequalities, race equality, tackling the care backlog. Are there any particular speakers or sessions that you're looking forward to, Saffron?
So I am definitely looking forward to the keynote speeches. I'm looking forward to hearing from Sophie Williams. I think she's going to be a fantastic speaker. She's going to close day one for us, and I think that's going to be really interesting. She's going to be talking about what stops people who aren't white and male being successful when they take on leadership roles. So that's one, I think, to look out for. And the other one that I think is going to be really interesting is how the session from Professor Megan Wrights on speaking truth to power and how leaders can better hear what they need to hear. And I think that's going to be fascinating. Anyone who's a leader knows that listening is important, but I think that Megan's going to show us and talk to us about some of the really important elements to listening.
Yeah, and I think it's probably worth just mentioning, if you're listening to this podcast, you can come to the conference, this virtual conference, by going to our website and signing on. So it will be opening up. I should just mention also, as usual, to mark our conference, we're publishing our State of the Provider Sector report, which offers a snapshot of the pressures and challenges that are front of mind for trust leaders. This is all based on an extensive survey that we've carried out. So that should offer real insight on the mood as they head into this very difficult winter. And Saffron, the conference has been set up as a moment for leaders to come together. It's happening online rather than face-to-face, as we've discussed. But do you think this can still work as an overarching theme, the theme of coming together?
Absolutely. It's always the case that we would prefer to be together in person, face to face. But virtually, we know that there's still that opportunity to share, to exchange ideas, to learn, to listen, as we were saying, and really to think about where the NHS is headed next, and to hear from those who have views and those whose views you would like to influence. And so it's definitely an opportunity to come together, and it's definitely an opportunity to share. Just won't be face to face.
Thanks for that, Saffron. And that brings this edition of the Provider Podcast to an end. Do listen out for the next one, which will reflect on some of the highlights from the conference. And remember, you can join in the conversation by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag The Provider Podcast. And keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. Thank you.